The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Members of Congress and my fellow Americans, our nation is back, bigger, better, richer, and stronger than ever before. Less than 5 months from now, our country will celebrate an epic milestone in American history, the 250th anniversary of our glorious American independence. This July 4th, we will mark 2.5 centuries of liberty and triumph, progress and freedom in the most incredible and exceptional nation ever to exist on the face of the earth. And you've seen nothing yet. We're going to do better and better and better. This is the golden age of America. When I last spoke in this chamber 12 months ago, I had just inherited a nation in crisis with a stagnant economy, inflation at record levels, a wide open border, horrendous recruitment for military and police, rampant crime at home, and wars and chaos all over the world. But tonight, after just 1 year, I can say with dignity and pride that we have achieved a transformation like no one has ever seen before, and a turnaround for the ages. It is indeed a turnaround for the ages. Today, our border is secure. Our spirit is restored. Inflation is plummeting. Incomes are rising fast. The roaring economy is roaring like never before. And our enemies are scared. Our military and police are stacked. And America is respected again, perhaps like never before. A short time ago, we were a dead country. Now we are the hottest country anywhere in the world, the hottest. And for all of these reasons, I say tonight, members of Congress, the state of our union is strong.
I think our forecast yesterday was pretty much spot on. The 20 speech writers hard at work preparing his speech last night, a record speech as far as the length goes. An hour and 47 minutes, I think it was. Breaking his own record from last year. So long-winded. Lots and lots of hot things to talk about. And as I said yesterday, and the New York Post put it out, I think, fairly well, there were a lot of victories, a lot of successes over this this past year. A turnaround for the ages, he says. I mean, when you think about the bitter affliction that America was suffering through for 4 years, and really before that, if you go back to the first and second term of the dear leader, but especially those 4 years under the fake presidency, lots of suffering, lots of bitterness, and it was an abrupt turnaround in many ways. But as you also heard last night, and we'll get to that a little bit later, there's a lot of people that are taking credit for this turnaround. And there's a token reference to God here and there. But certainly we're not giving God the credit that he deserves. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. If you'd like to email the program with some feedback, you can send emails to td@thetrumpet.com. So as I say, a long speech. It went on and on, and I have to be honest, I didn't see it. I saw quite a few of the clips this morning. I saw some of the commentary. I think Steve Bannon was talking about how that this was a historic moment, how they called out the Democrats, and he did. He exposed the Democrats. And really, you see clearly the two camps in the United States. Those that are pro-America, you know, the patriots, some would say. And then those that are of the communist wing, those that hate America. Those that despise America, those that, as President Trump said last night, that wouldn't stand up for just what seems like common sense support. The Democrats just glued to their chairs, those that were there, I think half of them didn't even show up. I mean, that shows you how deeply divided the United States of America is. America, though, to quote the Jeroboam people, I mean, they just keep right on winning. Here's clip number three from the State of the Union address last night.
Our country is winning again. In fact, we're winning so much that we really don't know what to do about it. People are asking me, please, 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 Mr. President, we're winning too much. We can't take it anymore. We're not used to winning in our country. Until you came along, we're just always losing, but now we're winning too much. And I say, no, 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 you're going to win again. You're going to win big. You're going to win bigger than ever. And to prove that point, here with us tonight is a group of winners who just made the entire nation proud. The men's gold medal Olympic hockey team. Come on in. That I will soon be presenting Connor with our highest civilian honor, which we will be given and which has been given to many athletes over the years. But when I say many, not too many, like 12, it's called the highest civilian honor in our country, the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
At least both sides of the chamber can agree on hockey. I think the Democrats stood for the hockey team. I believe we correctly predicted that as well, that the victory on Sunday would be seen as proof that America is winning, that America is back, that America is stronger than ever, that it would be part of the celebration 2.5 centuries of independence for the United States. I want to take you to the worst part of the speech first. There were some good parts, particularly when he singles out how crazy, how deranged the Democrat Party is. But first, you know, taking credit for all that America has done, for the world even. And you hear that through and through in this next statement, and even the reference to God at the end, it seems, like I say, it seems like a token reference, and almost as if, you know, God is the one that works for us. Clip number 12.
Americans built this nation from 13 humble colonies into the pinnacle of human civilization and human freedom, the strongest, wealthiest, most powerful, most successful nation in all of history. We raised up the world's greatest cities. Together, we mastered the world's mightiest industries and shattered history's monstrous tyrannies. And we liberated millions from the chains of fascism, communism, oppression, and terror. Americans lifted humanity into the skies on the wings of aluminum and steel. And then we launched mankind into the stars on rockets powered by sheer American will and unyielding American pride. We wired the globe with our ingenuity. We captivated the planet with American culture. And now we are pioneering the next great American breakthroughs that will change the entire world. Because when the world needs courage, daring, vision, and inspiration, it is still turning to America. And when God needs a nation to work his miracles, he knows exactly who to ask.
Not exactly Lincoln-esque there at the end. You can't imagine George Washington saying something like that. When God needs a nation to work his miracles, he knows exactly who to ask. Well, I mean, on our part, we certainly do have to believe and obey and we have to humble ourselves. But God is God, and we're his servants. And when you'd listen to Lincoln or listen to Washington, of course, we just have their speeches in writing, but still, you read them, and you see a lot of humility. You don't see an understanding of God's divine purpose and plan, but you definitely see an understanding of human nature. You see an understanding of, you know, blessings and cursings, that if we're going to be blessed, we better obey God. We better look to God. We better thank God. You read those speeches. And, you know, I mentioned the 20 speechwriters yesterday, and those 20 writers probably came to that line. I'll read it again. When God needs a nation to work his miracles, he knows exactly who to ask. I mean, America's back. America's better than ever. America's strong. God is looking to us. Actually, it should be us looking to God in his Thanksgiving proclamation in 1789. George Washington, he acknowledged the providence of God for the quote, great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty, and for all the great and various favors, all of these blessings, all these favors, the tranquility, the union, the plenty, the prosperity, it comes from God. Think about Abraham Lincoln. This quote I think you'll find in The U.S. and Britain in Prophecy, this book right here, wonderful book. Mr. Lincoln said, "We find ourselves in the peaceful possession of the fairest portion of the earth as regards fertility of soil, extent of territory, and salubrity of climate. We find ourselves the legal inheritors of these fundamental blessings. We toiled not in their acquisition or the establishment of them." In other words, it wasn't because of, you know, American ingenuity. It wasn't because of, you know, free market capitalism. It wasn't because of America's work ethic. We came upon these blessings and we didn't toil for them. We toiled not in their acquisition or the establishment of them. God gifted them to us. Now, sure, God wants to see us, you know, appreciate those gifts and use those gifts and hang on to those gifts. But God is the provider. When God, this is Donald Trump yesterday, when God needs a nation to work his miracles, a nation to work his miracles, he knows exactly who to ask. I mean, that's not a statement that he's going to be proud of years from now. There's going to be some statements, as we've said over the past year, that are going to come back on him. What he said about Germany last summer and building up its war machine and so on. 20 speechwriters. This is the way they think. You had one speechwriter that put that line in, and then all the people that edited it, including the president, let's just leave it in. Listen, it kind of puts us, you know, on the same level as God. When God needs us, I mean, he knows he can rely on us. That's the thinking. And it runs through the administration. Just look at the example of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4. Again, there's a very serious and sobering point to be made here. Because God is observing. The eyes of God they're upon us. Daniel 4, verse 30, it says, "The king spoke and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?'" I mean, look at this kingdom. Look at Babylon. Look at what I've built. Look at what I've constructed. That is dangerous thinking. The Bible says pride comes before the fall. Verse 31, notice the next several verses. It says, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, 'O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. That's a message that needs to get through to Jeroboam. Amos 7 says so. The kingdom is going to depart from you. We're entering into some very dangerous and perilous and sobering times. And yes, the temporary resurgence is exactly that, but it is temporary. It's a resurgence, but it's temporary. And that we would take so much credit for it, it really is painful. Really, it's painful to watch. If you go back, you know, 2 years, 3 years, there is no way anyone would think, you know what? I think Trump's coming back. I think he has what it takes. Look at how they fought him. And the devil was behind that. That movement among those communists that you see on the Democrat side of the wing or the chamber. They wanted to blot him out. They, like the deranged actor said the other day, he shouldn't have been allowed to run. They didn't want him to run for office because they knew. They knew a large part of middle America supports him. So they wanted to put him in jail or take him out with an assassin's bullet. Anything it takes. And the fact that he came through all of that, it's a testament to God's awesome power. It's God who gives life. It's God who preserves life. It's God who protects us. It's God who opens doors. It's God who showers us with blessings. And in the case of America, in the case of Ephraim, Great Britain, the greatest empire in history, it's because of Abraham's unwavering obedience. Genesis 26 and verse 5 brings that out. God made unconditional promises to Abraham. Now later they became conditional in the time of ancient Israel. That's covered in Leviticus 26. I'll see if I can go through a little bit of that history. But just to finish this passage, the kingdom is departed from you, Daniel 4, verse 31. Verse 32 says, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts in the field, and they shall make you to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. You're gonna be a beast in the field until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. I mean, this is the way God reacted to this Gentile king presiding over Babylon. What must God think about an Israelite king, or at least one with king-like powers and authority, saying that in front of all of Manasseh last night? Biblical Manasseh, the United States of America, the recipients of all of these blessings from God, as Abraham Lincoln said. We better be careful not to take credit for these blessings, this prosperity, this resurgence ourselves. It says the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. God doesn't turn a blind eye to these kinds of statements. He doesn't ignore them. He didn't ignore them with Nebuchadnezzar. He's certainly not going to ignore them today. This article we wrote back in March last year, why God is saving America through Donald Trump. Why is he doing it? Is it because he needs America? Is it because he looks to America? My father says here, we must look beyond the surface and beware the serious mistake of glorifying Donald Trump rather than God. I mean, when you haul them in, and again, this is probably why half the Democrats didn't want to go, because they knew he was going to humiliate them, and he did. He called them out. He says, you know, a president's job is to put citizens first ahead of illegals. Now stand up if you agree with that. And they wouldn't stand up, the Democrats. How humiliating. It's right there in front of the whole country. The whole world is watching.
And they basically admit, we stand for foreigners. We want the illegals. We want them to have more rights than your ordinary Americans, certainly the ones that support MAGA. They were exposed. They were humiliated. This is a part, I mean, forget, you can say what you will about the division in the MAGA movement. There are divisions, but look at what has come of the Democrat Party. Who could have imagined this 20 or 30 years ago? This is when Donald Trump is at his best. My father makes that point in Great Again, I believe. I mean, he does a really good job of exposing the communist infiltration of the United States. He exposes the radical left, but even that, you know, when I'm reading some of the commentary this morning, that's frustrating because, okay, he exposed them again. He's done it before. But what about holding them to account? What about punishing them? I mean, Ilhan Omar, she's shouting at him from the chamber last night. What more evidence do you need to deport her? I mean, here are the Somalis. He calls them the Somali pirates. That's what they've been pirating in Minneapolis. They stole $19 billion from the federal government, from U.S. taxpayers. I was thinking this morning on the budget that we have for God's work, and God has blessed us. I'm not complaining, but I thought, what would this work be able to do with $19 billion? And yet that's the kind of money that's just thrown to the wind. And, you know, Congress has its role in that. It's easy to blame the Somalis, you know, setting up daycare facilities with no children. But how are the members of Congress signing off on this? How could they go into their offices, even during COVID, and say, you know what? Well, because of COVID, let's just throw billions out there. It's insanity. This is how nations die. And okay, put the vice president over, you know, fraud and waste. I thought we had Elon Musk doing that a year ago. That didn't work out so well. And now here comes J.D. Vance, and good for him. I hope they can eliminate it. We've dug ourselves such a deep hole. And then here we are. We have a few months of turning things around. And really, they're just incremental steps. We got to be honest. And then we want to look to a movement, or in particular, a leader, rather than God. If God needs to perform a miracle, he knows who to do it through. That's right. We're the best. We're the best. And we've got proof here tonight. Look at our hockey guys. Our hockey guys are here. The women's team couldn't be bothered. But leave that aside. At least we've got the men's team. There again, a perfect illustration of how divided the country is. The men will come, the women will not. I mean, they can't be seen with Donald Trump. Not Trump! At the White House? Come on! The reign of Jeroboam II in ancient Israel was one of those times. Well, let me just back up. Scripture is clear that there are times God blesses despite the sins of the people. And he ties in Jeroboam II in ancient Israel. My father says the sinful nation was in a time of bitter affliction and about to be destroyed, yet God stopped the forces seeking to blot out the name of Israel, and he saved the nation by the hand of King Jeroboam. And they had a resurgence. They expanded their borders. It was a miraculous turnaround. But it didn't follow national repentance or any kind of true spiritual revival. God did it in his mercy. God did it in spite of their ongoing sins. And that's what we're witnessing today. My father says there is deep affliction in our nations, family breakdown, drugs, pornography, immorality, indebtedness, unchecked immigration, violence. This is written, you know, right there at the end of the fake presidency and the start of Donald Trump's second term. It says we should be grieving over this affliction, the moral and spiritual shattering and destruction. President Trump has promised to fix some of those problems. How deeply are people grieving over this affliction? The time ahead will reveal a great deal about America's character. And like we covered on yesterday's show, I mean, this is a golden age of sin. That's what it actually is. And there are some improvements. There are celebrations. There's a lot of talk about Jesus and religion. America's birthday is coming up in July. There are a lot of things to focus on that seem very, very positive. We told you yesterday what that would be last night. But there's a lot of affliction that remains. And what we're going through right now, I mean, it's revealing a lot about our character, about our willingness or our unwillingness to repent, to turn to God in repentance, in faith, obedience. My father said, prosperity alone does not indicate righteousness. So many people are investing faith in the new president and are excited about the changes he promises to make. And really, that's another takeaway from last night. You can see how following this, you know, epic speech, that more and more people are just going to look to President Trump. I mean, even these young men, you know, and some of these young men that played for the U.S. hockey team, they play for the NHL. And, you know, we've gone through it before, all these athletes that are just so woke. And here are these young men, and they're, you know, you really can't imagine this happening 3, 4, 5 years ago. Yeah, we'll go into the White House. I'm honored to play for my country. I'm excited to meet the president. They were surrounding the president in the Oval Office. And all of these are young men in their 20s. Again, the ladies didn't show up, but still, just that the men did tells you something about how different it is today than even a short time ago, how big of a turnaround this has been. But we're taking credit for it ourselves. That's the problem. Many of those changes are good and will reverse some of the bitter affliction America has suffered. Many of the Jeroboam changes, they're good. My father wrote that a year ago. But none of them is a substitute for the national repentance that must take place to replace the curses and punishment that await us with the lasting blessings of God. It says, people are looking to Donald Trump to fix America's problems. No man can accomplish what Mr. Trump thinks he can. God would like to make these positive changes, this resurgence. He'd like to make it permanent. But we won't turn to him in repentance. If you look at some of the history and the prophecy that's covered in this wonderful book, we just talked about it in class the other day with respect to chapter 5 of Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of Israel. In that chapter of Mystery of the Ages, it gets into why Israel. I mean, this tells you who Israel is, where they went, where they are today, what's the significance in Bible prophecy. And the Mystery of the Ages really dwells on why did God do it this way? I can't get into all of it. But you look at what God gave to Mr. Armstrong in the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. I mean, almost a century ago, 90 plus years ago, God started to reveal this truth to him. The truth about who we are in prophecy today, the United States and Britain, Ephraim and Manasseh, and how we've been the recipients of the choice, I mean, the choicest blessings on earth. Even the real estate that God gave to Great Britain and to America. America was, for the longest time, the breadbasket of the world. I mean, we didn't go and find it for ourselves. God gave it to us. Of course, there's history, and explorers did this and that, and wars and conflict. But God prophesied of these promises, these blessings. You go back to Abraham himself and read in Genesis 26 and verse 5, God said, I know, now I know, I'm going to give you these blessings. Abraham didn't live long enough to receive them. I mean, he was the beginning. God re-promised the blessings to Isaac, then Jacob, and then you move forward in the story and you get to Israel, when it finally had grown into a large nation with all these tribes. And God said clearly in Leviticus 26, now it became conditional. If you do this, if you obey, if you observe these commandments. Let me read it to you. Leviticus 26, verse 3, it says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them like their father Abraham did, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. You'll be blessed. You'll receive fabulous blessings if you obey. And then you keep reading the chapter, and again, Leviticus 26, Mr. Armstrong expounds upon it in great detail in this book. You keep reading in that chapter, and you see that if you don't obey, well, then curses are going to set in. And I don't have time to get into the, 2,520 years delay that God put off, the blessings for that long. Because as we know, ancient Israel, Judah, I mean, eventually they split into two nations. They both went into captivity. Israel went into Assyrian captivity. Judah went into Babylonian captivity. But those promises, I mean, they didn't just evaporate away. God didn't just say, well, I'm not going to keep my promise then. No, he was bound by it. God's word is sure. They were delayed. That's it. They were delayed 2,520 years, which takes you right up to the early 1800s. When God just poured the blessings of heaven above onto two peoples in particular, Ephraim and Manasseh, the United States and Great Britain. It makes me think of this article I wrote 15, 16 years ago. This guy, he was on some talk show and he was looking at just the prosperity levels for the world, and that for the most part, for the longest time, most people in the world and human civilization, they were barely above the poverty level. And then he called it the hockey stick chart. He goes, and then you get to 1800, and then it just spikes upward, not just for Britain and America, but really the whole world was lifted because of the blessings on these two nations. And of course, this guy, this commentator, this analyst, he attributed it to the free market. Free market capitalism. You see this? I mean, Americans created this and this, and look at the ingenuity, and then the whole world benefited and was blessed by it. And you had the same spirit last night. It was like President Trump was delivering his hockey stick speech. Yeah, it just went this way for hundreds, centuries and centuries. And then, boom, look at what America has done. Look at how the world has benefited. We're stronger than we've ever been. Everybody respects us. Everybody loves us. The truth of it is, these immeasurable blessings that America and even Great Britain have enjoyed for so long, I mean, they're so many of them are now gone and have been replaced by curses. But God lavished these blessings upon our peoples, not because of the free market capitalism or American ingenuity. He gave them to us because he promised those blessings, those very blessings, to our forefather Abraham some 3,500 years ago. God's word is sure, the sure word of prophecy. It's incredible to think that so much of this was established, was discussed, was promised in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. That's why you need this book here to study this, so that you can understand, so that you can know, so that you can have the master key that unlocks your understanding to all of prophecy. A third of your Bible is prophecy, and most people don't understand any of it. As far as Donald Trump's great strength, exposing evil, maybe not holding them to account, but he definitely, when he is on point with the evil, the derangement, the craziness of radical Democrats, it's something to watch. Listen here to clip number 4.
All Democrats, every single one of them, voted against these really important and very necessary massive tax cuts. They wanted large-scale tax increases to hurt the people instead. As we ensure that all Americans can profit from a rising stock market, let's also ensure that members of Congress cannot corruptly profit from using insider information. They stood up for that. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Did Nancy Pelosi stand up if she was here? Doubt it.
The biggest inside trader of all. Did she stand up? I doubt it, says President Trump. Well, insider trading, is that just a joke? Is it a punchline? If you do it in the private sector, don't you go to jail for that sort of thing? Can't you be put in prison for insider trading? Didn't Prince Andrew, isn't that why he's being indicted, arrested in the UK because of insider trading? Well, if it wasn't that, it was trade secrets, whatever it was. But here again, it's a swamp. They get away with anything. And then when they finally are exposed, well, that's basically the extent of it right there. Just a little bit of public humiliation, but then move on with your $200 million. $200 million. What could God's work do with that kind of money? I mean, billions, that would be, I mean, you can't even imagine. Well, maybe you could, but $200 million, how about that? These people just swimming in cash at the taxpayers' expense, generally. Cheating, lying, stealing, going around the rules. Happens all the time, and we just laugh and joke about it. Listen to more from Trump singling out the Democrats. Clip 5.
One of the great things about the State of the Union is how it gives Americans the chance to see clearly what their representatives really believe. So tonight, I'm inviting every legislature to join with my administration in reaffirming a fundamental principle. If you agree with this statement, then stand up and show your support. The first duty of the American government is to protect American citizens, not illegal aliens. Isn't that a shame? You should be ashamed of yourself not standing up. You should be ashamed of yourself. That is why I'm also asking you to end deadly sanctuary cities that protect the criminals and enact serious penalties for public officials who block the removal of criminal aliens, in many cases, drug lords, murderers all over our country. They're blocking the removal of these people out of our country, and you should be ashamed of yourself.
And they should be ashamed. In Great Again, my father's book, he said Donald Trump's campaign in 2016 captured the support of this segment of Americans. And he says this: Mr. Trump does an admirable job of identifying these problems and addressing people's concerns. And I suppose, you know, his defenders would say, well, you know, he is only a president. And, you know, there are different branches of government. He's not an absolute ruler. But all of that said, I mean, identifying the corruption and the crime is just the first step. It seems that holding people to account is just never really an option. As I said, you know, following the hockey victory, you know, there's something that just is a little bit annoying about seeing the FBI director there in the locker room, you know, cheering on the team, downing beers and you know, dropping F-bombs. He's supporting the team as all of America is, okay, but at the same time, I mean, look at the corruption. Look at what people are getting away with. Look at what Nancy Pelosi got away with. Axios says here, roughly half of the House and Senate Democrats skipped President Trump's State of the Union address on Tuesday. Can you even imagine how the talking heads would be howling right now if this was the dear leader and half of Republicans chose to not attend? I mean, look at how they gang-tackled that guy years ago when Obama was giving his State of the Union. Remember that? And the guy just yelled out, "You lie!" And, oh, that was unbecoming. I mean, that was the inappropriate on multiple levels. And here you have Ilhan just shouting down Trump, and half the chamber doesn't even show up. This is not the sign of a healthy, united country. Remember what President Trump said coming in, his inaugural address? Yeah, the nation's as unified as it's ever been, is it? The massive boycott represents a shift in American political norms as the party's grassroots have pressed lawmakers to be more partisan and less conciliatory towards Republicans. We want more division, say Democrats. You know, the ones that were howling in protest when that one voice in Congress blurted out in front of the dear leader of all people during his speech. He said, "You're lying." Well, they didn't like that. They sure didn't like that. But now you've got the grassroots saying, "Forget it. Draw a line in the sand. We've got to be more partisan, more divided, more hateful than ever." You saw that spirit in Minneapolis, and we know where it's leading. It says here, Axios counted 20 Senate Democrats and just under 110 House Democrats in the chamber at the start of Trump's speech. That is roughly half of each party's chamber Democratic caucus. A real shame. You wonder if anything like this has even happened in history. I mean, I know America has a long history of some pretty contentious debates in Congress, but has there ever been a State of the Union where half of the opposing party just said, "I'm not going to go," in protest, "I'm staying back"? The American Spectator says, "Now there are truly two Americas." You see it in Congress. There's two Congresses and there's two Americas, and all of it shows how eminent the Civil War is. The unprecedented level of flat-out vitriol spewed out by the entire left side of the American political equation suggests only one thing: they want a civil war, and they will fan the flames of political hatred until they get one. And again, these are things that, you know, this is not a joke. You can't just brush this aside and say, "Oh, funny, funny, they didn't show up." No, they want more division. They want civil war. They hate Donald Trump. They hate MAGA. Listen to this next one from Trump, clip number 6.
But when it comes to the corruption that is plundering, really, it's plundering America, there's been no more stunning example than Minnesota, where members of the Somali community have pillaged an estimated $19 billion from the American taxpayer. Oh, we have all the information. And in actuality, the number is much higher than that, And California, Massachusetts, Maine, and many other states are even worse. This is the kind of corruption that shreds the fabric of a nation, and we are working on it like you wouldn't believe. So tonight, although started 4 months ago, I am officially announcing the war on fraud to be led by our great Vice President, J.D. Vance.
Which is great. Hopefully he gets some things done. But I just think back about a year ago, I mean, Elon Musk, he was attached at the hip with Donald Trump. He was campaigning with Trump a little over a year ago. And then think about all the fraud that they exposed in those early weeks of the second term of President Trump. And what came of that? How much of that led to trimming the fat? You know, lowering our standard of living or tightening our financial belts, I guess. This is one more. Again, him going after the radical party to the left. Clip 7.
But surely we can all agree no state can be allowed to rip children from their parents' arms and transition them to a new gender against the parents' will. Who would believe that we're even talking about this? We must ban it. And we must ban it immediately. Look, nobody stands up. These people are crazy, I'm telling you. They're crazy. Amazing. Incredible. Boy, oh boy. We're lucky we have a country with people like this. Democrats are destroying our country, but we've stopped it just in the nick of time, didn't we?
Well, God did intervene. We know this. The Federalist has a piece about how that Trump was right to expose Democrats. I mean, you could make a case that he destroyed the party, the Democrat Party, last night. They were exposed. The cute suggestion, this is from the Federalist, that every president should use every State of the Union address for generic, saccharine appeals to unity for the sake of it is a Washington establishment preference intended to conceal all of the problems caused by the same Washington establishment. In other words, why get up there and just, you know, have all these platitudes like everything's great and we're all together? It says, unity implies equality and a sense of partnership. Democrats believe in one thing, their power and their way. We simply do not believe in the same things. And that fact is put on the most prominent display possible with the State of Union speech. When every broadcast network and every cable news channel carries that one event, that audience is smaller and smaller anyway. But while it's there, it's best that the time is used to show just how alien, unattractive, and anti-American the Democratic Party is. In other words, go at it and expose them at least. And like my father says in Great Again, I mean, that's President Trump's strength. That's really, in my view, that's really when he's the most likable. Because you're like, yeah, that's right. But the self, you know, the self-congratulatory tone, you know, we could do with less of that, much less of that, and giving more credit to God and what God is doing. I mean, the Federalist is just acknowledging the obvious. The bitterness, the division is so deep. These people want civil war. So why should you go up there and just pretend that everything is perfect top to bottom? He was singing his praises, his policies, his agenda, and the positive improvements that have come from that. But he also exposed the Democrats, and they didn't like it. And they knew. You look at Hakeem Jeffries, the ones that did come and sit there quietly. They knew. They knew they were exposed. They knew they were unpopular across America. The religious revival, as we said yesterday, I mean, that was a theme as well. This is clip number 8.
I'm very proud to say that during my time in office, both the first 4 years, and in particular this last year, there has been a tremendous renewal in religion, faith, Christianity, and belief in God. Tremendous renewal. We love religion, and we love bringing it back, and it's coming back at levels that nobody actually thought possible. It's really a beautiful thing to see.
Religion is back at levels nobody thought possible. Going back to this article my father wrote March of last year, Why God is Saving America Through Trump, he said, President Trump has a strong following among evangelicals and Catholics. Many Christians in America today look to this man for leadership. Some people believe America is on the cusp of a religious revival, but you need to know your Bible and beware religion that has only a form of godliness. That's a reference to 2 Timothy 3 and verse 5. There has to be substance. It can't just be a form of godliness. You've got to get into the teachings of Jesus Christ. You know, we've been, I haven't mentioned it in a while, but we've had, I think, 9-10 episodes of our new podcast, The Life and Teachings of Christ. And it's on a few television stations every Sunday here in America as well. But you can get to the TV log at our website, thetrumpet.com. But you know, that program, it's so basic. You know, it's grounded in scripture. There's nothing original in the programs unless you've been blinded to the truth. And if you've accepted a steady diet of fake religion your whole life, you tune into this program and you are going to be in for some mind-blowing experiences. Because it's just one verse after another, comes right out of the Gospels. As we say at the start of each show, I mean, for that program, we rely on the only reliable source of information when it comes to the life and the teachings of Christ. You have to look to the book. You have to look to the Bible. You have to see what Jesus said. You can't just take what some man says as the final truth or the absolute truth. You've got to prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. You prove by looking into the Word of God, discerning between right and wrong, and then doing the right. My father says in this article, this prophecy, speaking of Amos 7, this prophecy warns of Americans being caught up with Jeroboam and not wanting to hear about sin and punishment. There is such a thing as sin and punishment. Again, look at Jesus Christ's teachings. Look at what he said about, you know, the people of Sodom in the time of judgment. Or look at what he said in the Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24. Anyone who believes that now that Trump is back in power, everything will be just fine, needs to pay attention. God prophesies otherwise. He says people must repent. He's warned many times, and he's now giving his last warning. He will not pass again anymore. He won't pass by anymore. Amos 7 brings this out. This is our last chance to turn to God in repentance. He says America's problems are much deeper than Donald Trump can solve. This nation has forsaken God. That's why we need the U.S. and Britain in prophecy. We need the jolt that is there in this book, that's there in a third of your Bible, that is Bible prophecy. You can know, and furthermore, you can act on this truth. You can do something with it. You can turn to God. You, the individual, as far as our nation goes, as he says, I mean, the nation has forsaken God, and there are no signs of repentance, certainly not on a national scale. But there is still time, precious little time, left for the individual. Speaking of precious little time, that's all that we have left for today's show. The fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.